Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God, our Creator and Redeemer. Amen. Almost 2 years ago, Davin and I were flying to San Francisco with our two-week-old newborn. We were traveling west to introduce baby Beckett to his grandpa, and for Davin to say goodbye as his dad was dying. Those moments at his bedside were holy. The veil between heaven and earth felt thin as proud grandfather held his newborn grandson in his fragile arms. Life and death were being held together in a profound paradox. It strikes me that that's what this Holy Week is about. The paradox of beginnings and endings, and that greatest and holiest mystery of how death in all its cruelty somehow becomes the womb of new life. In the Gospels, we find seven phrases uttered by Jesus on the cross. Now that number seven is significant in Scripture. It calls us back to the very beginning, when God, our Creator, spoke on each of the 7 days of creation, and what he said became reality. Let there be light. And there was light. And so on with each day in the creation cycle. God spoke, and it came to be. What we see in Genesis is also true in the Gospels. This creative summons of divine speech is no less true in God's work of creation than it is in God's parallel work, the work of redemption, which comes to fullness in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Each of Jesus's seven words from the cross can be understood as a creative act, as a new Genesis. A new beginning. In Genesis, God speaks and creation is born. From the deathly cross, the Word made flesh speaks, and the world is made anew. Seven last words. One. Jesus speaks his first word over his executioners. Father, forgive them. He's calling forth the extraordinary mercy of God, reminding us of the radical nature of God's inclusion, that those who can't earn it and don't deserve it are invited into the presence of the divine. Here at the cross, even those we blame for the world's hurt and darkness are invited into God's embrace, an embrace that's wide enough even for the likes of you and me. Here Jesus is calling forth God's reckless mercy. Two. Then Jesus says to a criminal hanging next to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." There is no starker contrast than the Golgotha experienced by these three crucified men, than the lush imagery of a garden. In a garden, everything is fresh. And Jesus' invitation to this criminal, as it is to Nicodemus, is to begin again, to shed the burden of life's pain and wrongdoing, to be renewed like the blooms of a garden. As Andrew McGowan, whose work I am indebted to in this homily, writes in his book, The Seven Last Words, Jesus' promise of paradise is a vision of all creation restored to the beauty of that ancient garden. Jesus casts this vision by drawing the hope for the end and the remembrance of the beginning together in his body, creating paradise out of Golgotha, life out of death. And at the center of all that stands the cross, now the tree of life, and Jesus born on it, inviting us into this garden, where we may dwell anew in his presence, no matter how late we, like the criminal, ask for his kingdom. 3. Jesus' creative work on the cross is not only that of offering forgiveness or the promise of paradise. It is also the work of restoring us to one another. Woman, behold your son, Jesus says to his mother. And then turning to the beloved disciple, he says, son, behold your mother. This is a creation of relationship. With this third word from the cross, Jesus is making a family out of people who love him, but who don't have any familial ties to each other. And as Jesus speaks still from the cross, you and I hear him binding together Mary and that beloved disciple, and also our very selves to one another, the church, and to him. 4. God, why have you forsaken me? In the fourth word, Jesus' humanity is on full display in this despairing cry that we all utter in moments of death. God, will you do something? At death, we can only trust in God's power over death. 30-some-odd years before this Calvary moment, God's messenger, Gabriel, said to Jesus' mother, the Lord is with you. Here in his death, Jesus cries out, Lord, why have you left me? In Jesus' birth and in his death, we see the fragility of the human experience of the divine. Is God with us or not? Only if God has forsaken Jesus, has allowed him into the reality of the sin and death that grip us all, but of which God cannot be a part, only then can Jesus truly be with us, sharing uniquely in that thing that makes us human, mortality. This is how he conquers the sin that separates us from God. This is how he sets us free from death's tyranny and enables us to dwell with God fully and forever. In his death, we experience the presence of God. 5. I am thirsty, Jesus says. We know from the Gospels that Jesus' death overlaps with Passover. In saying, I am thirsty, and then sipping the wine that was given to him, Jesus is keeping the command to remember the Passover. He is obedient to Scripture. And more than that, he is calling into being a new Passover, the great Passover of God not counting our rebellion against us. Because the blood of the Passover lamb, which once was painted across the rough-hewn wood of Israel, is now painted across the rough-hewn wood of all the world. And so the angel of death may pass over us all. Jesus is inaugurating a new feast with the cup of liberation. With the sour wine, he's keeping the Passover feast, and he reveals himself as the Lamb of God who gives himself as food and drink for the world. 6. After Jesus received the wine, he said, it is finished. It's accomplished. Do you hear Genesis reverberating? On the sixth day, God saw everything he made, and he declared it very good. The work has been accomplished, the Creator is saying. With Jesus' sixth word, the salvation song sung in Jesus' birth and life is reaching its climax. The work of redemption is reaching its goal. But what is being accomplished? It's no less than the story of creation and salvation, God's story. We find in Christ the reality of a God who enters into our broken human existence to seek out what was lost, to restore what was broken, and to breathe new life into the dust of death. Andrew McGowan writes that the pattern for God entering into our humanity is not for the sake of divine violence or vengeance, but rather divine love and gift. What is completed on the cross is this self-giving God in all his fullness, and what was once created is being recreated in this gift of God's self. 7. With his last breath, Jesus speaks a seventh and final word. Into your hands, O God, I commit my spirit. Jesus' labor is complete. And what comes next in gospel as in Genesis is Sabbath. On the seventh day, we read in Genesis, God finished the work that he had done and he rested. Having worked on the cross, Jesus the Redeemer now also rests because his work too is done and the failed creation is being renewed by his embodied word. In all of this, we see that Jesus from the cross has summoned forth a new creation, a humanity forgiven and granted the promise of paradise and ushered into loving community, a humanity completely known, and a humanity made new by Jesus' perfect obedience to the Father. The cross is not just an instrument of death. It is an instrument of new life, the sevenfold movement of a new creation from which our salvation is born. In just a moment, you will come to this table, this great Paschal feast of Jesus' life given for you and me. In the bread and in the cup, we see again life and death held inextricably together in a sacred moment. We see laid out before us love and forgiveness, promise of paradise. We see unity in relationships. We see salvation accomplished. And we see the fullest hope of all things being made new. We also experience at this table Sabbath rest, the invitation of Jesus for all who are weary to come to him and to share in his rest. So preparing our hearts now to celebrate this great feast, let us silently bring to God the darkness and the death that we each carry in our own bodies, and that as we come to his table, he would speak over us and make us new once again. Let's pray now in silence.